Live from the EAA Air Venture 2015 show in Oshkosh. This is the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 394. Most people around here at the show just call it Oshkosh. And I had a completely different plan for this podcast, which got thrown out the window at about 4 or 5 o'clock tonight because my perception started to change a little bit about what I am doing here and what this event actually is. Part of it was just the scope and size of this event and walking all over, because just to tell you what I did and how I do what I do, I started out by saying I'm going to record a bunch of sound, and I have been all over the show recording sound. And then I went to see Bert and Dick Rutan speak tonight, and I'm going to tell you about that in podcast 394. Now, with interest rates really low and some talk of interest rates going up in the next, at least by September, at least that's the scuttlebutt on Wall Street, that the Fed's going to raise interest rates. But right now we're kind of in a sweet spot for interest rates. And with them being so low, people are buying houses, but of course people are also updating their houses. They're adding Airbnb apartments. They are adding basements. They're adding bathrooms, and they're redoing kitchens. And of course, if you're going to do that, this is the time to think of Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for home or business, because they do great contracting work. They can really hook you up when it comes to your kitchen, your new kitchen, your new bathroom, or that Airbnb apartment that you're going to put together. These are the apartments people build. We used to call them mother-in-law apartments, and now they're rental apartments, and people make a lot of money on them. But anyway, that's another subject. The other thing that Ryan is great for is emergency service. So if you want reliable service for home or business, when you have plumbing or heating problems, or you have air conditioning problems, or you're looking to make a new room, create a new room, add on to the house, or improve the kitchen, you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Here's the number, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan goes back four generations in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ask them about emergency service, or at least remember them for emergency service, and also ask how they can help you if you're going to add on to your house, do a basement, do another apartment in your house, or duplex, or something to that effect. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. If you're renting homes, again, Ryan Plumbing and Heating, they can help you with your plumbing problems. Check them out, Ryan Plumbing and Heating, and thank you, Greg Ryan, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. So when I first showed up at Air Venture 2015, I thought that I would do what just about everyone else does, which is go around, record some sound, shoot some video, find some people to interview, talk about a fun summer event in America's Upper Midwest in 2015, and go home and be happy not to have to talk about politics for a couple of podcasts, right? And that is actually what about 95% of the podcasters would do, and that's what I figured I'd do, as I said. But it didn't work out that way. First of all, this event is so interesting that eventually it overwhelms you. And I cover political events all the time. I cover things that are complex. I talk about things that are complex, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to come to these events and cover them and be here, because I just love how I'm going to be able to give you my first impressions and how it has affected me, because this is an experience. So first off, and right away, I'm going to tell you, because I think it's really important, because I don't want to pretend that I know something about airplanes. I don't know anything about airplanes, to tell you the truth. I always thought airplanes were cool, and I suppose if a person reads enough history or military science, you're going to learn enough about aviation to somewhat have some understanding of it. And to that extent, reading about the wars, I've learned all the historic stories about aviation and its importance. If you read the history of business, if you read about business, then you'll understand the history of aviation as it pertains to business. When you come here, there's a lot of history here, because airplanes, like automobiles, are really like living history. You're going to see a lot of antique and military aircraft. You're going to see warbirds. You're going to see them flying. And in the process, people who are just airplane enthusiasts, in other words, they come out to see the airplanes, and that's me, because they don't know anything else, you might pass up the experimental aircraft, but this is the bedrock of EAA, and it's so important to the experience of Oshkosh, because at one time, this whole thing was just a show for home builders. They call them people who build aircraft in their homes, literally in their garages or their living rooms, and I guess you could say aircraft enthusiasts. This is the idea that you could order plans for a plane, and the plans would come, and if you followed the directions and got the right materials, you could actually build a plane yourself. So it democratized, was the beginning of democratizing flight, because prior to this home builder, if you wanted to buy an airplane in the 1960s and 70s, I mean, they were expensive, just as they're expensive today. Well, the idea of a home builder is a guy who considered himself a self-taught engineer or a machinist who could follow directions, could build an airplane, and that was pretty cool. And the idea was to get all these people together. And if enough people came, then maybe other people would buy your plane, or they would have you build a plane for them, or they would buy the plans for your plane and build it, or you and others could just admire what you'd done and make suggestions. So this is a bunch of, you know, motorhead plane people that just were all machinists and engineers and aircraft enthusiasts, pilots, and things of that nature. And there are still literally workshops, welding classes, parts, tools, materials, and all of this that's still in operation here. I'm about 50 feet away from a giant welding exhibit where people can go in and actually weld things. And it all grew out of this experimental air show at this place called Oshkosh. But over the years, other parts of the show began to grow. And by the way, there's a big debate about that here, that it's not the cool kind of kitschy kit building kind of thing that it used to be. But you have, in my experience, there seems to be here this amazing mix of airplane enthusiasts, experimental builders. And that's still going on, the experimental building and things like that. But you also have corporate people, pilots, and then, of course, the air show, which is always on. And there was always air shows here. That was a big piece of this thing from the get-go. There aren't too many conventions in the world that feature this mix of consumers, users, corporate manufacturers, and home builders. And I think that's significant. Probably it compares on some level to the hunting and fishing shows, the big boat shows, that type of thing. But today, all the big companies are here. There are four hangars of exhibitors, most of which have to do with aviation on some level. And this is all you hear when you walk through the hangars. Flight simulators that will blow your mind. Avionics, which is what a lot of these big companies are doing here. Lighting systems, cabling, tools, communications, radios, headphones, comlinks, you know, Boeing, Garmin, Alpha Systems, and of course all the big aircraft manufacturers, Beechcraft, Cessna, Cirrus. All the new airplanes are here too, from the smallest experimental craft to the new Airbus A350. You have jets, you have props, you have gliders, you have drones, and then the warbirds, which are a huge draw. P-38s, tons of P-51s, P-47s, Sky Raiders, Vietnam and Korean War era jets. There's a consolidated privateer here, and there's only one left in the world still flying, a B-29, a B-17, a lot of B-25s, an A-26, Mosquitoes, a Lancaster bomber. There's a B-52 that is still flying missions, and it's over 50 years old, which is amazing. I can't forget a whole section of World War I era planes, which are actually amazing in terms of their history and their value of history. And all kinds of racing and aerobatic planes, monoplanes, biplanes, and the plane shows. And the thing is, all of these planes, even the new planes, the F-16s, the FA-18s, the F-35s, that the military is bringing in, these planes all fly. So even the Korean War era jets, you know, the Sky Raider, the B-29, the B-17, the P-38s, the P-51s, those are all still flying. There's a ton of trainers over the years that have been collected, and these are all flying in shows. And then there are the people, which is really amazing. Flying people, pilots, air controllers, designers, mechanics, salesmen, who are also aviators or aviation enthusiasts. You hear people talking about flying down to Chile and where the best airports are in Chile and what's the best part of the country to go to, or Argentina or Brazil. People come in, they fly in, they pitch a tent next to their plane, and then they go to the show for a full week. And they fly in from all over the place. There are people here from all over the world that have flown here, which is a mind-blowing thing to me. And then they pitch their tent next to the plane, under the wing. And, in fact, we're going to talk to some people who actually did that a little bit later on in the podcast. Now, one of my favorite old airplanes is the Ford Trimotor, really the bedrock of the American passenger aviation business going back to the 1920s. They have two of them here. And there's a great sequence with a Ford Trimotor in Public Enemy. And when you see them in action, you realize that passenger aviation, at a pretty sophisticated level, has been present in this country for almost 90 years. And it's the only aircraft that I know of that Ford ever built. Walking until your feet hurt, and my objective was to get out on the flight line and get this audio. From one end of this gigantic, this airport is huge, and it's one of the reasons EAA chose this place years and years ago, because they were able to get a ton of space. And then I saw something that I actually thought was extraordinary and applicable on so many levels in my life, as well as everybody's life. They have a nighttime theater, and they show movies, and they have shows. There's actually more than one nighttime theater, but anyway, I decided to go over to the original nighttime theater at one end of the whole show here for a presentation about and with Bert and Dick Rattan, and I believe their friend Michael Merrill. I hope I got his name right. Bert is the legendary aircraft designer, from his home builder plans in the mid and late 70s to Space One and Voyager, the aircraft that set long-range flying records and also the first commercial venture in space. And I don't want to get too technical about it, because I don't know enough about them. I know who Dick Rattan is. I know who his brother Dick Rattan is, and Bert Rattan. Dick is a decorated military pilot, a legendary test pilot, and pilot of Space One and Voyager. You can Google the rest of it, but this, just to tell you a funny story, I just thought there was one Rattan. I didn't realize there were two. So I thought it was Dick and or Bert. I didn't know that there was a Bert. So, because I knew Dick, the pilot, and Bert is the guy who's the designer of these aircraft. And what you really can't have one without the other, which we'll learn here in a second. What's significant is this, and I really got a sense of this coming back from this event tonight. As I said, I am not an aviator. And I don't know anything about aviation, really, so I can't speak with any authority, and I'm not going to pretend to be some authority because I'm doing a podcast about this show on, well, you know, the Cessna, blah, 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 because I'd look like an idiot, and I would be an idiot to do that. Moreover, I don't want to be disrespectful or sound as ignorant as I really am about this event when it comes to this kind of thing. Because it's really an amazing event, and I want to get that point across. But I can tell you what it feels like to be here. I can let you hear what it feels like to be here. and to hear a little bit of, you know, to tell you what it's like to be affected by Dick Rutan and Bert Rutan's story. Because Bert, first of all, is an entrepreneur. And when you hear him, you're so strongly encouraged to live your dreams. And I think it's so important that people hear that today. Because he is, you know, one of those guys out there. And I know there's probably others, but he's probably the most famous, who flew in here to Oshkosh back in the early days to show people his designs and get their ideas and see what they think and show people his planes. And these are his people. I mean, Oshkosh is really his home in a lot of ways. He's proven that it's still possible in this world and in this country to think really differently, to think big and think differently, and to use your imagination and to create something completely different. And like everybody else, you know, there's a lot of training and development behind Bert Rutan. He's an educated engineer. He worked for the United States government. You know, so it didn't happen all by accident. But he had the vision, and he had the wherewithal to and the strength to say, I want to create my vision. I don't want to do somebody else's vision. And I think that's so inspiring. Or as he said, to realize you can do something to change the world and your business forever. And that really hit me square, and I loved both of those guys. They're just fantastic, because here are these famous guys who spend 2.5 hours talking to probably 1,000 people. Remember what I said about the political get-togethers recently, that there's more people at these shows just to see someone like Dick Rutan and Bert Rutan on a Tuesday night that will sit there for 2.5 hours than there are at any of these political events. But here's this famous guy who will make the time to come down from the stage after the show and spend time with people at the show discussing his latest project, which in this case is a seaplane, because as I said, this in a sense is his home, Oshkosh, you know, the show. And it made me realize what a significant event this is in this country, what has grown, what it has grown to, and perhaps what has grown out of the show that we've been able to give to the country. And it's built on the shoulders of all the stuff that he started here at Oshkosh years ago. And so it gives me a tremendous amount of respect for what this event is, and I really can't do it justice by just going around and asking people questions about their planes, because I wouldn't know what to ask. In fact, I walked up to Rutan, I was going to interview Rutan, and I choked because I was like, what am I going to ask this guy? I don't know anything about what he does. I wouldn't know what to ask him. So I tried to put the experience together with all the sound that I got today. And it's been a great day, and kind of give you this experience of what it's like to be here. And it's really overwhelming. Saying it's cool is an understatement. Acres and acres of airplanes. Acres and acres and acres and acres and acres of airplanes with people pitching their tents right next door to them on the flight line. It's extraordinary to see these antique planes that will fly during the show. And then there's me too with the Mobile Podcast Command Unit right here by the tower and my 20-year-old REI tent pitched next door to it, and my cot and my air mattress. And there's always an air show going on of some kind, or jets are coming in. And in addition, you have all kinds of, it's a three-wing circus, literally. And these controllers at what is now the world's busiest airport for the next week or so, the tower right over here, about 50 feet from this truck, are doing an amazing job just trying to control all of these helicopters and, you know, these shows, the planes of the shows, and the planes landing and taking off during the shows. Okay, it's amazing.
Sure, it would be better for us to get us oriented here. Okay, go ahead and set up for a 27 initial, runway 27.
That'll work, boss. Initial for 27 for the missing man.
Boo, 126.6 now, 126.6 for runway 27. Okay, the T-28s, you're going to be following a bamboo bomber. I'm fixing to turn him in on a left base.
Yeah.
Bamboo bomber, you up?
Stand by, I'll pick the runway in a minute now.
Okay, Trojan Link.
Now. Bamboo Bomber 126.6 now. Right, the
wind is 310. Bamboo Bomber, boss.
Yes, sir.
You can make a left turn now. Set yourself up for left base for runway 27. Start your descent. Left base for 27. Traffic, your following is coming over the airport boundary. Inbound 27 is a T-28.
Left turn, 27.
All right, Bamboo Bomber, be careful, you just had a stuck mic. The Michigan T-28, you're following that four initial, that Bamboo Bomber has just turned final for runway 27.
I just Michigan turning stage at this time, turn overhead.
Perfect, Michigan.
Michigan turning overhead for right brake.
Clear cross. And Bamboo Bomber, last port of wind 310, mount of peak dust 17. Runway 27, you are clear to land.
Bamboo Bomber, 27, clear to land.
Thank you very much. And let me know when you're clear of the runway, please.
We'll move.
T-28, this has been wind 310, mount of peak dust 17, runway 27, you are clear to land. Plan a right break over the numbers.
But I think these people that I encountered on the way back from the Rattan speech and our little conversation really says it all about the community and what it's like to be here at the Air Venture 2015 in Oshkosh.
So my wife and I are pilots. We have an airplane. We like to fly. And we came up to Oshkosh a year ago and just had so much fun that we said we'd do it again. So we're here with our friend and his friends, and a bunch of us came together. So, yeah.
Are you camping by the plane? Or?
Yeah, we're... Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, you're doing
that? Oh, yeah. Tent under the wings and the whole bit. Yeah.
I'm camping by my truck over here.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just saying that I was going to actually try to interview Rutan.
Yeah.
And I really found myself... I didn't know what to answer. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I'm not a pilot or anything. I'm a podcaster.
Yeah.
And I was just shocked because usually I'm not afraid to ask anybody. Didn't know what to say to the guy. Yeah. Am I crazy or is he like an amazing human being?
He is a living legend. He truly is a living legend.
But he's incredibly approachable. I mean, he just walked up to
him. I just talked to him for 30 seconds afterwards. I asked him a question.
Well, I was standing right behind him.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
And he just answered the question like a normal human being.
Yeah. You know, and he's telling me what the progress is. Yeah. And he's talking to like me, you know? And it's like, it was just... But he's just done so many cool things. If you look at, you know, there were a half a dozen of them here today. The planes that he has designed and made fly to just sort of prove you
that it can be done.
Do this. And then he goes on to something else. I mean, he's done that time and time and time again in his career. And, you know, continues to do it with, or continued, all the way up through Spaceship One and the whole thing. I mean, you know, it's just, he's
not afraid to just... do it.
Right.
He doesn't, it's like risk doesn't bother him. It doesn't exist for him. Whereas people have doubts. He's just like,
whatever, we're just going to do
it. We'll figure it out.
Or manage it somehow.
Yeah,
well, at the very beginning of the talk, the guy said he's designed 300 or 400 and some designs, but 42 of them have flown. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously done a whole lot of stuff that never got off the ground, literally. But it's like, whatever, I'll just design another one.
And it's really tied to Oshkosh in an odd sort of way.
Well, it is. I mean, how much.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I did not. Right. So his very first public flight of his very first design happened here 40 years ago, you know, this week, basically, which was really cool. We're sitting kind of going, imagine that, being here. I mean, we could be seeing something like this now. You know, here's something brand new. And that plane is so different,
even now,
than every other plane ever looks like.
You still see him. Why are they sitting on the ground?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, the nose sits on the ground.
Right. Like when he was talking about changing the engines out and under headlights.
Yeah.
I actually turned my head around to kind of imagine the flight line.
And somebody out there right now,
out there,
right, with their cars, all pointing their headlights at it, yeah, so they can swap out
and
an engine.
Happened
and then it
right
set
there.
The record right. It's the next step. Yeah.
So yeah, the brother can go out and fly, you know,
we
the
just
next
kinda,
day.
It's an entrepreneurial.
Yes.
Oh, it's amazing,
yes,
from an entrepreneur perspective,
yeah,
because it's
a
like,
very American
do it.
Thing.
Well,
it is, right.
It's a very American thing.
We just heard a legend about the boomerang. I'm pretty sure it was when Scaled Composites was already started.
He created
the boomerang.
Yeah.
And he set out to prove some point, some engineering point. I don't even know what that was. I think it was something about the stability of a twin
engine, right.
If one goes out, why is it always so damn unstable? He's like, oh, I can fix that. So he goes to build this plane to prove this point. And he didn't even have two of the same engine. He just had two different engines
well, like
laying around.
One's a 200 horsepower and one's a 225 horsepower. And he goes,
so there's no engineering reason behind
we'll just,
that. It's just,
we'll just
what,
use
what
them,
he had laying
you know,
around.
And that's
so
what they did,
it
and that's what made
and
the
thing fly. And he proved his point, and he never
just,
made another one. You know, it's like,
I mean,
done.
It's just,
all right.
It's great.
I didn't realize how close he and his brother were tied until this whole thing tonight, which was really cool.
It's this crazy mutual respect for each other,
right,
where Bert's just like, I can't believe you fly this crazy shit that I build.
Right.
And
his brother keeps
like,
going, I can't believe you expect me to fly this thing. You know?
I got the feeling that Dick, he doesn't get the respect he deserves because Bert is the designer. And everyone,
well, Bert's a little bit more.
He knows who Bert is.
People flocked around him, but without... Period. Without Dick, Bert is not the person he is.
Exactly.
Because you can design something all day long,
but if somebody doesn't fly it,
you trust,
they said the safety record was all due to Dick's skill.
He's willing to give him a lot of credit on that. Well, it's great. And so now what happens? You guys party out underneath the...
We're going to plan the rest of our day around seeing him
tomorrow.
No, I am too.
We're going to come back and hear the thing because he's, you know, he's retired.
Yeah.
But the very last... He retired to a house on a lake in Idaho, like Coeur d'Alene or
somewhere up there.
And he has never built a seaplane. And now that he's living on a lake, he wants to build an airplane that he and his wife can, like, go do adventures in. And so he's going to build his very first seaplane, and we've been looking at seaplanes for about 4 years now.
There's some pretty cool ones here.
They're absolutely
any of them, if they fly them on the ocean,
right,
like actual salt water,
you know,
and people
like,
go, no, you would never land this on the ocean.
That gorgeous albatross.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know,
it's metal. It'll corrode. So
you,
people get all weird about it. Yeah.
But he's, put it this way, in my mind, a seaplane designed by Bert Rutan for his own use is going to be something you want to pay attention to. So I'm really, really excited to see what he's going to come up with.
Because he wants to use it on the ocean.
On
salt water.
For he and his wife, he literally, I mean, he stated he wants to use it and, like, go places all around the world, he and his wife, in this plane. And that's exactly what we want to do. So I want him to build it so that we can build the second one and go do the same thing.
So it's all starting again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great. What's your name?
I'm Brian.
Brian Bob Davis.
Hey, Bob.
Bob Davis Podcast.
I'm Fran.
Bob
Fran,
Davis
good
Podcast.
To meet you.
Yeah.
Gary White.
Gary, thank you. I'm in an old ambulance
over there.
I just do all kinds of stuff, and I have a client who is actually he is an angle of attack indicator over at Alpha Systems.
One?
Alpha Systems.
We have that.
Those guys.
Mark Corrin.
Yeah, Mark. We just talked to him earlier today.
He's the mayor of his town.
He's the mayor. And he's a great mayor.
Sweetest guy.
Yeah. And we like Mark.
He's he's my client, and I was over here with them, and I know nothing. I mean, I'm intimidated because, I mean, I'm not afraid to walk in up and ask a politician a question, but I don't know anything about flying. And so I'm like, well, I don't know what I would even ask. But this is great.
Take a flight, man.
I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
Well, I've flown before, but I've never actually flown a plane. Like, I don't know anything about it.
You need
one
to go
lesson.
Fly. Yeah, go
one
take
lesson.
A lesson.
All right.
And you'll,
York,
but this is a fascinating
Have Mark
thing.
Set you up and, yeah.
Okay,
you,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to learn to fly. This community is unlike any other community.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, so how important, how important is it? There's so many questions that I have, but I mean, did you learn to fly?
So I learned to fly of the three of us. I got my license first 11 years ago. And really, it was just, it wasn't this sort of love of flying or anything. It was just the utility of it. I wanted to be able to fly and get places quicker and so on and so forth.
What about you?
Exactly the opposite.
I got mine about 5 years ago, and it was after he had had kind of a long hiatus away from flying. We had gotten together, and it was like, all right, it's time for me to learn, me to have my turn, right? And I've always wanted to learn to fly.
Since she was little, yeah, she yeah. always really had a passion for
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so got my chance, and now we're both IFR pilots,
and we hooked up with yeah. him and his family at the beach one time, and they had just driven 12 hours to the beach, and we flew 3 hours, and he goes, so let's talk about this flying thing.
And the next thing you know, the wheels are turning.
1 week after I got back from the beach, I took my first flight lesson. Now,
did you fly your own plane here, or you fly with them?
I flew my own plane here.
So you're all...
I got
licensed. Yeah, it is a community.
I got licensed 4 years ago, so...
So
this is my third time at Oshkosh.
So he got in hook, line, and sinker after he got started. And it was like
all your fault.
Sold.
Yeah.
All right, you guys.
It's really cool.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Great good luck.
Tell us your name again.
Thank you. Bob Davis.
Bob Davis.
Podcast. Yeah. Podcast.
I think there might be a few more aviation podcasts in
there. Yeah.
Okay, I'd say there's so many.
Thanks once again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Don't forget, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. In St. Paul, 651-224-4771. Ryan Plumbing and Heating for four generations. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. They can help you with the new kitchen. They can help you with the new bathroom if you're doing that while interest rates are still low. And also, don't forget, for emergency service, home or business, metro-wide from St. Paul, and that means the suburbs too, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. I want to thank the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast, Mad Case Studios. They create quality, original automotive artwork. It's not a picture. It's actually a painting. And Mad Case has been out at a lot of these antique auto shows this summer. Actually, I wish they were here, because the stuff that you can see here, they still have a lot of antique cars here at EAA as well. Click on the banners for more information about Mad Case Studios and all of the sponsors of the BobDavisPodcast.com. And thanks again for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Digitally speaking, thank you guys for your donations at the BobDavisPodcast.com safely and securely through PayPal. Thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, right on the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. And thanks for liking, sharing, favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter. I'm BDavis7843 on Instagram. And again and again and again, thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. They are putting diesel fuel in this vehicle and providing me with Komodo Dragon coffee. I really appreciate that. I found out today I can put Jet A in the ambulance. I think I might put some Jet A in this thing. They say it smells really good. Anyway, live from the air show in Oshkosh, thank you, and thank you, Oshkosh. It's been great. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 394.
It was the first airplane I built was built in my garage, and then after that, I built 45 airplanes in a shop, a raft shop or a scaled shop, and that actually a couple of those were built out of the shop, but, you know, more than 40 airplanes, and my most recent airplane was built in my garage.
Well, the most recent one now?
Yeah, the one that almost made it to Oshkosh this year was built in the garage.